Good morning and welcome to Rainmakers. It is Monday, December 1st. Matt Neely, can you believe we're in December?
It has just
come so quickly. And so nice to see you, Matt. I hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend. It's been a busy and bustling time.
Yeah, wonderful Thanksgiving with family. Just had a great time.
That's great. And a little bit of time off. And the weather was kind of coming and going. A little bit of clouds. A lot of sun.
Indeed.
Kind of crispy time. And it was really great. I was able to travel up to Central Arizona and visit with some family in Queen Creek, the East Valley, but also in Central Phoenix, and come back down to Tucson. And it just every day was from Wednesday until last night. So
yeah,
I think this week I'll catch up on some
sleep. Okay. Well, That works too.
It does. I'm excited to once again have another wonderful show where we are going to bring lots of different folks together talking about what they bring, particularly into starting off in the first hour in the arts community. We have in studio with us this morning Teresa Pellucci. Teresa, welcome and good morning to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Teresa is with the Applied and Fine Arts Studio and also works with the Southern Arizona Art Guild. I always say that a little bit wrong. The proper name would be...
No, that's right.
Oh, did I get it right?
Yeah.
Good. It's SAAG, so I guess, yeah. Southern Arizona Art Guild out at La Encantada. And I know that we'll be talking a little bit about some changes that are coming up there.
Yes, absolutely.
And also we are going to have this morning in our first segment in studio, Mariana de la Vega, who is with De La Vega Galleries here in town. Mariana, originally from Mexico, but has been part of the Tucson community for quite a long time, back even to her college days.
Yes, absolutely.
And the reason art continues to be such a theme, we talk here on Rainmakers often about that sweet spot, that blend that brings nonprofit, community, expression, culture, education, workforce, and all those, and business all together into projects, people, initiatives that help Southern Arizona thrive. So definitely an artistic spin is really great.
Well, as artists here in Tucson, we feel that Tucson is an art hub.
Yes, I would agree with that. And also, I know one of the things we are going to be bringing some attention to is the Desert Alive, the call to artists that are still going on and a showing or the important dates for the Desert Life.
Mm-hmm.
The Desert Alive, from cactus to creatures, is the Sonoran Desert is alive with stories waiting to be told, and artists of all kind of backgrounds and specialties mm-hmm. and talents mm-hmm. coming together, because from December, the show runs from December 5th to January 17th, so that's going to be a really exciting
number of weeks. We have curators coming in today to actually put the show up.
Nice.
Sunday, we spent the day collecting art from the artist. And this is an exhibit. And it runs through January. I think it's January 17th.
Yes, those are the dates that I have. And it's going to be running at the De La Vega Art Gallery, is mm-hmm. my understanding, mm-hmm. which is a fabulous place that a lot of people, kind of a hidden gem. If you're driving on Prince Road, that would be southeast of Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
The area where the gallery is a little bit deceiving. Looks like it's kind of a small little studio, maybe a storefront. But once you get inside, the depth and length is fantastic. And then there's a basement, which is really fabulous.
Yeah. Well, Mariana originally took the space to be her own studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw her, I think, walk by a window there.
Yes, I think she'll be coming in.
And so she started it as a studio. And Mariana is a art coach.
Mm-hmm.
And but in the last couple of years, since COVID, she has decided to try to turn it into more of a real gallery. And so we've all been working on that. I've done 3 shows with her so far.
Oh, wow.
And successfully have sold some things, which is always makes me happy.
Oh, good.
And so we've started by not trying to be a full-time gallery yet, but starting with a series of exhibits. So we just finished one for the Day of the Dead, where mm-hmm. we also added a special component about Frida Kahlo. And that was very successful as well. We had a lot of people come. We had dancers there. We had musicians. It was a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
And now for the holidays, we are settling on something a little more general, which is the life of the desert. because a lot
but
of people
But one that
here,
has a lot of aspects to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that was the point, is we wanted to make sure that the artists would have that kind of inventory to bring to the exhibit. And since most of us do paint desert scenes, mm-hmm. that's what sells here. Yeah, we got a really nice group. I think we have 21 artists right now that are doing the
that's
show.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that'll bring a lot of different perspective because, again, they come with different aspects, different talents, different
Yeah, we'll have, we styles. Have a fiber artist. We have statues, so 3D work, and of course, lots of paintings. Mm-hmm. I actually specialize in digital, which is sort of cutting edge. At one time, I couldn't get digital into the galleries, but it's become more and more accepted. And I don't mean AI by that. I mean that I take photographs and then I draw, usually I draw the animals, and then I scan them into my computer. And then I make sort of a fantasy scene, what I want my painting to look like in Photoshop. And after I'm done doing that, I run it through a series of filters, which can look like pastel or watercolor or oil. Sometimes I mix them up. I put it back into Photoshop and I add vibrance and can change the colors and hues. And then I have those things printed on either acrylic or sometimes I have them printed on metal because I have I have clients who want to put art out on their fancy patios and this metal will last forever outside
goodness.
I print on. So it's sort of just part of the whole, you know, the whole Tucson scene that your patio becomes another room, right?
Exactly. It is very much part of our living space in our homes, yeah. Patios and balconies, yards, porches, all of those things. And you were talking about the desert scene and how that is what sells.
Yeah,
here in Southern Arizona, and I would say because we draw from what we see, and of course here in the greater Tucson area with the Catalina Mountains and the desert landscapes and homes, and a lot of older homes having beautiful landscapes mm-hmm. and zeroscape, you know, with the very different approaches to environmentally conscious landscapes, it really brings up a lot of different ideas. It probably stimulates a lot of creativity, I would say.
Well, first of all, the light in the desert is something that mm-hmm. most of the artists really love. And I think also the warm tones. And then the wildlife. But I have to tell you, when I first moved here about 12 years ago, I was also studying sculpture with the Southern Arizona clay artists. And so we started a fundraiser for children's art.
Oh, nice.
And it was just a kind of a thing where we would collect art for a year, used art, and the people had in their garage or because they'd moved. And then we had a big rummage sale. We raised about $5,000 or so.
Oh, wow. That's not bad for a rummage sale.
No.
Matt and I would love to have that from a quick little garage or patio sale.
Well, here's the funny thing is that we collected a lot of paintings in beautiful frames of ducks going over a lake.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, from the eastern part mm-hmm. or, you know, a lot of oceans or rainy scenes or mountains. And people are, when they move here, they want to bring what they see. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want a desert scene, you know, and they want a mountain lion or they want a coyote or something like that.
Or those funny little javelina that are not so nice.
Yeah, so.
They might look cute or interesting, but don't approach them.
Smelly, but yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did that for a few years and worked on that project. But, you know, the artists would come in and they'd buy the frames. And I'm sure a lot of those paintings didn't make it up on walls after that. But but yeah, it was a great project. And it was funny to see where people are coming from and moving to Tucson because we could really see it from the paintings they brought in.
Isn't that interesting? And I think you bring up such a good point. Many people choose Tucson. Many people, you know, so many people are born and raised here. But many people choose on purpose to come to Tucson for school, for work, or exactly the healing environment, the culture, and all that great stuff. So. It is fun to see the blend of from whence they come and how that is then acclimated into our Southern Arizona neighborhoods.
Know, coming from Seattle, and I've lived here about 12 years now, but we just wanted the sunshine, but we didn't want someplace that was humid. So, mm-hmm. you know, Tucson just fit that bill.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at Phoenix, but too much traffic. And yeah. we love the sort of the university town environment here.
Yes.
But there were also tons of opportunities. There are so many great art guilds and art organizations, you know, mm-hmm. nonprofits that can really help somebody who is a sort of an emerging artist. I've painted my whole life, but I was too busy working to sell art. I just gave it away. So when I finally got a studio and started making art, and I had a lot of it, I said, oh, now I've got to sell it. And so, you know, I looked to those organizations, and there's plenty here to help me learn more about the business of art.
Sure.
You know,
and there is quite a business angle of that. We need to yeah. make sure. I get the pleasure of speaking to a lot of organizations, small business oriented organizations, and sit on some boards and such. And one of the continually untapped avenues of helping small business is really working with the artisans to make sure to help them have the business savvy, the exposure, the visibility, mm-hmm. because their talent, just like many chefs who end up, you know, wanting to own a restaurant mm-hmm. or other folks have food trucks, that's the talent, but having that business acumen often is a challenge.
Well,
and so
not,
we need to make sure to include artisans in yeah, our small it, business discussions.
It's
and
not
opportunities.
Even taught at the art schools at the university.
Right.
And so I'm actually setting up to do a class starting this year, Best Practices for Emerging Artists.
Oh, wonderful.
Because I do, for the last 8 years or so, I've been doing all the marketing as a volunteer for the Southern Arizona Arts Guild, mm-hmm. which we call SAG. Mm-hmm. And I've learned over the years that a lot of folks don't know the difference between an art statement and an artist statement. There's just all kinds of little things that they could be doing, but they're just busy being artists, and they don't think about that business part until it hits them in the face.
And that is something that we certainly can add to. I'm going to hold you right there, Teresa, because
okay.
believe it or not, we are at our first commercial break.
All right.
So thank you so much for bringing a lot of this to attention. I know that we're going to be joined shortly by Mariana uh-huh. and I believe another person from the art community and
yeah.
investing in arts. So Matt, take us away into our first commercial, if you don't mind. You're listening to Rainmakers, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You know, Lydia, it is December. South Soul Orchestra, members of mother, father, sister, brother, who after they left Philadelphia International Records, and they also did a Christmas album.
And we are back listening to some new shoes. Paolo Nutini playing that upbeat song, and Matt Neely behind the glass keeping us going this morning. It is the beginning of December, Monday, December 1st, here on Rainmakers, because if it's Monday, it's we're making it rain here on The Morning Voice at the KVOI studios. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and it is my pleasure this morning to have a room full of fabulous women. We've been talking in our first segment, or our first few minutes, with Teresa Pellucci, who is an artist herself. Her studio is called Applied and Fine Art Studio, but she also is involved with the Southern Arizona Art Guild, so SAG. And we were speaking about inspiration, about beauty and landscape, about taking in our surroundings when we think about creativity and art and the link between the greater Tucson area, the beautiful landscapes, and what I like to say as the desert alive, the desert coming alive, and the desert biome that connects us with so many beautiful aspects of trade, culture, food, education, people and communities originating even as far back as the Pascua-Yaqui, the Tohono O'odham, and a lot of Native people. The copper trade routes from centuries past, hundreds of years past, all of that spanning from the Gulf of California, Mazatlan, Mexico, Tucson. And the reason I bring all of that up is because we are now joined by two additional ladies who are also in the art world, very educated and informed about arts and culture, especially here in Southern Arizona. One is Mariana de la Vega. Mariana, welcome. It's so exciting to have you here, owner, proprietor, teacher, coach, and all-around enthusiast from
you.
De la Vega Galleries. so exciting to have you here. And we also have Linda Kaplan. Linda, welcome to our show this morning. You are an appreciator of art, an investor in art, a supporter of artists and galleries. Wonderful to have you here this morning.
Thank you.
So I'm going to switch to you, Mariana. You have come with your usual vim and vigor, your high energy, dancing around and being excited to be alive, especially here on these wonderful mornings. We've been speaking, Teresa and I, a little bit about what you have coming up called The Desert Alive, From Cactus to Creatures. And this is going to be a show that runs from December 5th to January 17th at your gallery, De La Vega Galleries. But tell us about this theme, Desert Alive, From Cactus to Creatures, and the fact that you are inviting so many artists to share their unique interpretations of Sonoran Desert's beauty, resilience, and mystery. And I have a flyer right here, in case anyone needs to see that. Tell us a little bit about it and a little bit about your gallery.
Okay, Mariana de la Vega Art Gallery. We are on the corner of Campbell and Prince, and that's where you can find us. We've been there 8 years, but acting as a gallery only for the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. I think up to today we've had 15 exhibitions. I think this is going to be the 15th exhibition, probably. We support
the quinceanera.
We support artists. We are about community and bringing community together. We are grounded in the expressive arts. And we help emerging artists as well as professional artists. And as I said, you know, we're about helping each other shine, building each other up, especially post-pandemic. We need connections. We need community because we heal in community, not in isolation. So one of our goals is to help people heal, transform, and empower their lives through the arts. And our gallery is a space where people come, feel connected, and find a place to belong and to be seen and to be heard and to be honored. I believe that every person is an artist. As Picasso once said, he said every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain an artist once he grows up. So when people come into the gallery, you know, I believe there are artists, even though some don't feel like artists. But once they take one of my workshops, then they believe they're artists. And I teach that to my students as well, to all kids and all ages. So that's a perfect place and the perfect workshop for someone that doesn't believe they're artists. But I believe we are all creatives in different ways.
I think that that is so important that you hit on the fact that everybody's got a different ability of creativity. Teresa, what do you think about that?
Well, one thing I want to say about Mariana's, because I'm in 5 galleries, and I can tell you the difference with Mariana's gallery, besides the fact that it's very multicultural.
It really is.
Is the fact that she loves to tell the story about the art as well. And I don't get that opportunity at other galleries, but whenever I produce something, I write an art statement about it. What, you know, why was I motivated to paint this picture? And she puts those stories right up with the paintings. So when people come in, they not only just see the paintings, they learn what the artist was thinking or how it was made. And that's very unusual for a gallery to do.
So I didn't realize that. That's interesting.
Yeah, so she is really about story and telling the story. The story often, I think it adds a personal touch to the painting, especially for the collector. I don't know. What would you say? You'd want to know the story, wouldn't you?
I would agree with that. I'm a collector. I'm not an artist. But I haven't known Mariana for very long, but I went to her last exhibit and to the opening, and the opening was absolutely magical. She brings people in from all over the community. She brings in entertainment and food and colorful, you know, exhibits that are so beautiful and so bright. I was completely, you know, mesmerized by the exhibit and Mariana as well. And, you know, I don't know that there's any other place. I don't know if there's any other place in any other city that's a gallery like this that really brings together artists from all walks of life and community And, you know, they're just, it's a beautiful experience going there.
I wholeheartedly agree, and I think you said that so well, Linda. Going into the gallery itself, you feel a brightness, certainly a warmth in the energy, and in it's very welcoming, and it taps right away, at least for me, into my curiosities, you know, stimulated with the colors, the bright light, the natural light, and it makes one want to wander through. And when you then gave us a tour, I was there with a couple of friends, and Little Peanut was able to be on that tour with us. When you gave us a tour of the back rooms as well and showed me where you create and where you hold some of your classes, and then going down into the basement and the salon down there, which is a wonderful place not only to exhibit, but I'm going to say if folks maybe are interested in using that as a venue, that is another offering that you have to community. They can contact you and maybe host an event or use it for some other kind of intimate gathering or celebration. My understanding, too, is there's some history there on that corner with DeGrazia, and I'm going to let our listeners get just a little bit hooked with that thought right before we go to commercial. Maybe in 30 seconds you can tell us a little, one of you can tell us a little bit about that history. Would you like to do that?
I don't really know the history. I'm going to defer to Mariana.
That's right. So DeGrazia, as I understand it, had that whole space before years ago. Am I telling that correctly?
DeGrazia's, actually, when we reopened the gallery, the director from DeGrazia's gallery was there, Mr. Lance, and he helped us, you know, cut the ribbon and, you know, open us as a gallery 2 years ago. And I had the honor to have him there, and then I asked him, hey, everyone comes here. I hear from a lot of people that DeGrazia was here, that he was walking around, and that they've seen him here, and they have memories of him, and blah, blah, blah. So I asked him directly. And then he said, and I did a little research. I'm not a specialist on this, but what I learned is that his old studio was on Campbell and Prince, just by the side from where we are.
Well, that's so an exciting thing, and I'm going to hold you right there as we go to our hard commercial break and talk a little bit more. So, folks, if you want to hear more about DeGrazia, stay tuned. We're coming back on Rainmakers, The Morning Voice on KVOI, The Voice. Well, happiness is definitely the truth here in Tucson. We are here in The Morning Voice, and it's a Monday, so that means Rainmakers here at KVOI 1030 The Voice. I'm your host for Rainmakers, Lydia Aranda, and we are having a wonderful kickoff of December 2025 here this morning, because indeed the desert is alive. Because today in studio I have four fabulous women, Teresa Pellucci, Mariana de la Vega, and Linda Kaplan, are joining me to talk about our Sonoran Desert, the wonderful artistic culture that we have here, artists, studios, the business of, the pleasure of, and with that, the collection of. And right before we get into collection, I want to finish up something we were talking about right before the break. Mariana, you were telling us how many people speak about the area where your gallery, the La Vega Gallery, is, and how apparently it was that area of Tucson was a big inspiration for DeGrazia, that he used to walk around those neighborhoods and areas, get inspired. Am I recounting that correctly?
Yeah, you're right. So we get a lot of stories from different people that talk about it. I think, and we actually want to do an invite at one point, invite people in the community to share those stories in the gallery.
The memories and the stories that they have like that. That would be a wonderful collection.
His studio was just behind us on the same corner. But so those buildings have stories about him, like walking around or hanging out with neighbors. I don't know. Who knows? But when we're there, when we have shows, people feel that vibe. A lot of people say when they come in, they're just attracted by the energy of the pit, you know, of the place, and they stop by.
And there is a great energy there, right there. We're talking about the southeast corner of Prince and Campbell, and it is a wonderful area, and your studio has, the building itself has been there quite a long time. You've been there now for many years, and since COVID have really expanded beyond just display or your own art and creating that to coaching and having classes and making redecorating some of your rooms, including this fabulous basement area, to be a welcoming salon. And Linda, you were speaking that not only is the energy good there, the beauty of the art in the gallery part, but going into that salon feels like going into someone's home. I'm going to guess that that inspires you as a collector. I wonder if you might tell us a little bit more about collecting art and the role that collecting plays in supporting art.
I'd be happy to. My husband and I started collecting Latin American and Mexican folk art 35, almost 40 years ago, because I was enchanted by the beauty of these artists that are not trained and are, you know, from different areas of Mexico. Beautiful, beautiful art. And as we started collecting, it became such a joy to do together that we built up a large collection that we have today in my home here in Tucson. I'm very involved with the Tucson Museum of Art as well. I'm a trustee on the board of trustees, and I find it to be something that is so worthwhile, and you don't have to have a lot of money. When we started out, we just bought what we liked, and it was affordable, and it was beautiful, and I see that in Mariana's gallery. I see pieces that are so make your home so much more brighter and beautiful, and yet they are affordable. They aren't like, you know, a very...
You're not dropping millions at a time.
You're not dropping millions or thousands or tens of thousands. You're buying what you love, and that's the whole reason for collecting, is you see it and you love it and put it in your home and enjoy it.
That is a really great way to express. Also, folks who may not think they, I'm going to use air quotes, know art, but they know what they like. Everybody always knows what they like, what makes them feel good, what speaks to them, sometimes makes them feel sad or reminiscent. That's what art does. It really stimulates. Teresa, in your work in SAG, in the Southern Arizona Art Guild, as an artist yourself, but also as a marketer within these associations and such, what do you think the role of collection plays?
Well, I'd like to see more young people collect because it's best to start when you're young and you get a feel for what you really love. I know that there are people who collect for investment, but you shouldn't think about that. You should just buy what you love. And you'll start to learn what your tastes are and what styles you like. And oftentimes people will start to collect from a particular artist over time. A great place to start is just to go to a lot of the local art festivals and just walk around and see what you like. The other thing too is this time of year we have a lot of people that come in to De La Vega, for instance, to look for maybe a gift, something that's special, you know, that's handcrafted. It's not another tie from a big department store. And but a lot of people will say to me when I'm working at the galleries, well, gee, I don't know if this person will like it. Don't worry about that. If you like it, they're probably going to like it too. You're friends after all. And so you have some shared experiences. And there are just, there's so much that is priced to give a really special gift. You know, without spending hundreds of dollars.
Right.
Because a lot of emerging artists are in these galleries or at these festivals too. So it's really worth taking the opportunity to kind of look around and see if you can't get something special. I know one thing, a lady came in one day and said to me, oh, we gift wrapped it in a bag that, you know, had the gallery name on it. She says, oh, they're going to think this is special just because it came from a gallery. Well, that's true. So,
and it is true.
Yeah,
it is true.
Yeah.
I think you bring up such a good point that gift giving with art it can be an interesting thing and doesn't always have to be even sculptures and such or pottery. You know, it doesn't have to be huge. It can be a token and something to share, and people can use that. Students can use it in their dorms. They can, you know, things that you might carry around or hold dear, hand-painted original bookmarks and things like that are also pieces of art. Linda, you had a thought.
Well, I was going to continue to say that some of the pieces in the gallery are so beautiful and so creative. I think Mariana has really tapped into the creative mind of Tucson and the artists, because there is so much here that people don't know about. And the other point about collecting and having been a collector for so many years is when the pieces are in your home, you remember where you got it, mm-hmm. when you got it. You have a whole memory of buying those pieces. And that's something that, again, you share together, and you can go and tell people, I got this when I was here, when I was in Tucson. I love this artist, you know. And it's something special in your home that's part of your history.
Again, it brings up stories, and you're able to tell stories.
That's right. If you've met the artist, too, mm-hmm. and you're having a dinner party, and you've got a beautiful painting on the wall next to your dining table, you can tell that story, not only what the painting was about, but that you maybe met the artist and you bought it locally, and it's part of the culture of the community you live in. That makes a big difference, and it's pride and ownership there.
You bet. Mariana, I want to make sure that our listeners and viewers know where they can come to find out more. Certainly, De La Vega Art Gallery. 1918 East Prince Road is the exact address. Again, Southeast Prince and Campbell area. And also, again, I want to bring attention to The Desert Alive, From Cactus to Creatures, this wonderful show. And the important dates for that are that submissions have already concluded. I think the call to artists ended right before Thanksgiving. And now, this week, starting today, you will be receiving the art pieces, the artwork, and starting to set everything up, because the show starts this Friday. With a reception from 5 to 7. Now, do folks need to register for that if they plan to come?
This is a preview event.
A preview
that we
event?
Have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Friday event is a preview for specifically for collectors.
Oh, okay. And so the collectors are doing the preview of each other.
Saturday, it's totally open to the public. And that is from 5 to 7 as well. And anyone can come to that. And there'll be food and entertainment there as well. And Mariana's hosting two parties in 2 days.
Two parties in two days. It's kind of like the holiday weekend we all just came out of, right? Yeah, where there's a lot going on.
She's kind of a party girl anyway. So this is perfect for her. She has so much energy. One thing about the event is that there is there will be door prizes both nights, which are really worth winning if you can.
Wonderful. So those artists that want to come and preview should come on Friday. And open to the public on Saturday.
Saturday.
5 to 7. It says here that folks can register online today at www.delavegagallerytucson.com. So let's give that shout out. We're about to go into our third commercial break, so I'm going to hold right there. And going to wave at Matt here, because I'm getting the flash of commercial break. And we will be back in just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about other things that people can sign up for and start touring. Stick with us. This is Rainmakers on KVOI 1030, The Voice, the morning voice, trusted local news and talk. Coming back in for our last little bit of our first hour of Rainmakers, I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and we've been speaking this morning with Mariana de la Vega, Teresa Pellucci, and Linda Kaplan, all about De La Vega Gallery, the Southern Arizona Art Guild, collecting art, and many exciting things coming up with De La Vega, including the Desert Alive Call to Artists, which is a wonderful show that begins this Friday, December 5th, and runs all the way through January 17th. And we have a caller on the line right now. Jeanette Dillon has joined us by phone. And Jeanette, so excited to have you call in and join the conversation with these wonderful ladies. I understand that you have a little bit to add about a particular special speaker and guest who will be participating in this show. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, hi. I am a volunteer and first-time artist with Mariana de la Vega. I'm going to say her energy is very contagious. I'm just going to start there.
Yes, absolutely.
And she definitely has created an environment for just people to be able to come together for multicultures. She's definitely living her dream and creating it for other people.
Well, thank you so much. And you play an important role being a volunteer. In fact, I know that Teresa's going to speak a little bit about the call out for more volunteers. I wonder, Jeanette, and Teresa, you might have a question or a comment to add to what Jeanette is saying about her involvement with the galleries and the upcoming show.
Yeah, well, it's very important that we get a lot of volunteers and to help us, keep going. And one of the things is that unlike a lot of places, our volunteers are really, really involved. We want to hear what they have to say, give us ideas. We meet monthly as a group to try to improve the gallery. What do artists need? Marion is a great listener when it comes to that sort of thing. So, yeah, right now we're looking for more volunteers to help with gallery hours and a whole lot of other things. We have taken on a couple of interns, and we're looking for more interns as well.
Wonderful. So, Jeanette, I'm not asking this question correctly. How excited are you? How are you looking forward to being a part of this upcoming show, The Desert Alive, and From Cactus to Creatures? Are you going to be submitting some artwork as well, or will you be learning from this experience?
This exhibit, I am learning from it. I am not submitting artwork. Okay. I decided to more focus on volunteering and behind the scenes and learn more of what's going on and what would be expected of me in the future as an artist. And just volunteering there, I've learned so much from different angles.
Sure.
I just want to say that a lot of people have different backgrounds, and they may not think that their skills or their assets may not be beneficial to an art gallery, when in reality, everybody's skill sets is beneficial to what we're trying to achieve at the gallery.
I think that you are going to be, it sounds like you're going to be poised with a very wonderful front row seat to see how it all works and how it all comes together, and it should be a great hands-on learning experience for you. Mariana, any other comments about the upcoming show? Maybe a particularly featured speaker that you're expecting?
Yes, Friday night we're going to have live music with Carlos Manuel. He's a great entertainer. And then we're going to have Dr. Albert Klassen, distinguished university professor, talking about the desert. And he's going to open the night with a special talk about the desert. And he's written about 100 books. So he's very special. He supports the gallery. He comes to our shows, too, because he loves culture. And as we are a multicultural space, people like that feeling and that vibe. So he's been there in the past, and he actually opened the Horses on the Desert exhibition last February. He gave a talk about horses. So today he's going to talk about, Friday, about the desert, and he's also going to be sharing some poems.
How wonderful. So again, Friday night is going to be the artists being able to preview with each other, and special speaker with Professor Klassen, author and Professor Klassen, excuse me. And then starting Saturday, it's open to the public, so there'll be another opening Saturday evening. We are talking, if you are just joining us, about some really exciting things happening at De La Vega Art Gallery. Again, the address for the gallery, 1918 East Prince Road here in Tucson. And of course, you can find out more, listeners and viewers, and tell your friends and colleagues about www.delavegagallerytucson.com. Please know, beyond the exciting exhibitions that are coming up, also in February of 2026, there will be art classes starting, so you're going to want to learn more about that. And we hope, ladies, I hope in particular that all of you will come back and join us again regularly on Rainmakers. Tell us how it's going. Let us know more about the classes. Please remember to volunteer, because artists, like all small businesses, not only need support, but through volunteering, you can also learn more about the artists themselves, how the business of a gallery runs, and so much more. I want to thank our guests, Mariana de la Vega, Teresa Pellucci, and Linda Kaplan, for coming in this first Monday of December, bright and early, on a Monday morning into our studios to join me on Rainmakers. Matt, Neely, what do you think?
I think I need to go see some art. That's what I think.
I think you're right. I think we're going to be on that corner and learning more about DeGrazia and about all the great things going on at De La Vega Galleries. Please stay tuned. We're going to go to our next commercial break. And in our second hour, we will have guest who is a great photographer in his own right and philanthropist and all-around community, exciting community leader, Mr. Dominic Ortega. You've been listening to Rainmakers. Again, thank you. And stay tuned. We've got more coming up on
Gracias.
The Voice. Good morning. This is Lydia Aranda, and we are on Rainmakers this wonderful Monday morning, the first Monday of December. It is December 1st. People are coming out of a long holiday weekend filled with gratitude and excitement, family time, fun time. And yes, Matt Neely, we did see that score. Go Cats. They beat the Devils. And you
didn't mean to rub it in.
No, I think it's great. And I find myself pretty lucky since I attended both schools. I tend to get happy either way, but I get a little extra happy when those Cats win. So we're excited about that. It is great weather. And we are starting off our second hour with a great guest, Mr. Dominic Ortega. He is a face and a name well known in our community here in Southern Arizona. He and his beautiful wife, Miriam, have been active and attentive to community for decades. And before we get into that, I want to just say thank you again to my first hour guests that were Mariana de la Vega, proprietor, artist, teacher, coach, owns De La Vega Galleries here in Tucson. And we had Teresa Pellucci from the Southern Arizona Art Guild, as well as Linda Kaplan, a collector of arts. That was a really exciting conversation, don't you think, Matt? I think we had a lot of topics were thrown into that
hour.
Indeed
it was. And the fact that they're right there were Ted DeGrazia used to be is pretty interesting. And what a nice place to be located, you know, to, with the history there. So, yes.
Yeah, it really is exciting. And continuing on that attention into community and culture, Mr. Dominic Ortega is joining us this morning, and we're going to speak a little bit further about all those kinds of things. Many people may know Dominic for his years in corporate America. I think it was nearly four decades, not quite four decades in corporate America, with a fabulous leading organization. I'll let you say that name. But in that your corporate years, not only did you hold a marketing role, but you very much were attentive to community. Even though you were in the corporate seat, you were always connecting how corporations can support community, how community members can get involved in helping each other, and of course, students who are coming along their path, and whether they wanted to take a similar path to yours or just you were able to open up their eyes to many different opportunities, fields of study, career pathways, mentors, as well as mentoring yourself. And it really has led you to have such a full life and to support so many people here in Southern Arizona. I welcome you to Rainmakers, Dominic.
Thank you so much, Letty. It certainly is a privilege to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you here. We have been colleagues and friends for many, many years, and I want to congratulate you on a recent award, one of many. I know lots of accolades in your way, but you are the recent recipient of the Community Visionary Award. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm a Tucson insert on Sunday. I was... magazine. It's the first run of the Better Business Bureau magazine, and I was highlighted. Gosh, I got to be on the cover of the magazine.
Well, and I think we have it right here. Let's see if we can show our viewers that a little bit. Anybody that's seen can see that cover right there. And this was given out, it's the 2026 Community Visionary Award because it's coming up by the Better Business Bureau, right?
Right.
That's fabulous. Now, what were they highlighting when they gave you this honor?
A lot of this was my story, mm-hmm. just in terms of the evolution, and it really is kind of a biop piece. So, third of seven children, I was raised in the big city of Globe, Arizona.
Oh, yes, the Globe, Miami area, right?
Absolutely. Came to the University of Arizona some 50 years ago, mm-hmm. and met the gorgeous love of my life. That's the real reason I love the University of Arizona. I met my wife there,
Miriam. Well, that's one of the best reasons to love it.
Yes, definitely. And nice college career. From there, went to work for a Fortune 100 company, Allstate. I was a corporate side of Allstate Insurance. So when I left, it was a $35 billion company. But I enjoyed, my motto was exceeding expectations. I always tried to exceed expectations in everything I did. And it led to a very successful career. I got to be on TV ads. And one time they flew me to Chicago for overnight. They put me in front of a camera, put a hat on me, and said, I said, the Southwest region's going to do it again. And then they flew me back home.
How's there that? You go. That's pretty exciting and kind of the fun stuff that happens in corporations. Sometimes you get plucked not knowing that you're going to be the one, the face, the voice, or again, something you do so well, being a connector from big HQ into the neighborhoods and communities in which those corporations really derive their success, because it takes the people on the ground, the purchasers, the claim, the insurance holders, and all the folks out in community that help these big Fortune 100 companies succeed. So you were connecting those dots.
And it was really so important, because I saw there is the name brand of the organization, but of course, it's important to have feet on the ground and individuals who represent. There really was little to none representation. It was kind of surprising. So some 15 years ago, I was asked to present a $7,500 check, and there was nobody from our organization that was
in the area.
Or even going to do it, or show up at the dinner and everything. I said, we can't have that empty table. And so I showed up and got to know a really wonderful organization, the University of Arizona Hispanic Alumni. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really got the bug. And as I say, my skills were more a matter of marketing and sales. And I said, this is a wonderful untold story. It's an incredible story. And I developed a little elevator pitch and went on from that and helped the organization to be fairly successful. They were normally raising maybe $15,000-$20,000 at their little dinners. They called them the Bishop's Dinner. Mm. And I hosted it and raised $325,000.
So you found your knack by being able to connect what you do, how you are, and others that might want to have the information or need the service. You were bringing all of that together outside of a bubble and making it more known in community so that folks can get the funds they need, as well as, and even more importantly, share the information and resources that we're trying to get out to community.
You're right. And the individual that I connected with at the time, you may have heard of him, Humberto Lopez.
Of course.
I had not known Humberto at all. And it was almost like an interview. We wanted to honor him. And he interviewed me whether or not he wanted the honor. He said, I know nothing about you guys. But I gave him the pitch. And he said, you've got the job. And that's the real reason. It's partnerships, collaborations like that. I say, I'm a nobody, but I have really good friends.
And that's a great phrase.
He's been a great friend many, many years. And that was the start of the bug where I said, gosh, we need to learn these stories and tell these stories of these organizations, because they do so much. It was a tremendous graduation rate for Hispanic students. Typical graduation rate at the time, 45-50%. If the student got just $1 from our scholarship fund, the graduation rate would go over to 90%.
Isn't that amazing?
So as a rate of return, you know, no matter what side of the political spectrum you are, we like good rates of return.
We like good rates of return on our investments or on our donations. We want to see that the mechanism is working, whether it's through our time, our talent, or our treasure. All of it, we want to make sure we're helping move issues and initiatives and people, move them along in the right direction toward progress.
Absolutely.
And self-sustainability, education certainly does that. Information does that. Many nonprofits really need a lot of help and raise their hands all the time saying we need help. The help isn't always solved by money. It's often solved by a combination of funding and expertise. And expertise comes in many shapes and sizes and full of stories, because it comes from people like you. Being attentive, giving of time, sharing sharing some wisdom of having, you know, learned the ropes, whether in business or in other fields, and being able to help stabilize an organization if needed, or maybe take it into new heights and new directions.
And you're absolutely right. Many of these groups, many of these organizations don't have an individual really specific, or if they do, they don't have the expertise. Mm-hmm. My expertise was sales and marketing, you know, for this billion-dollar company. So I took those skills and started introducing them. Everything I do is free. Everything is a gift from the heart. And just helping, I tell them, I want to learn your story so I can tell your story.
That's great.
And, you know, that way, so I'll go to different events, and I've taken a picture or two. I'm kind of known for taking some pictures.
Yes, you are.
I'm just over 650,000 photos that I've taken
over these
years. The majority of them are of my wife, though. I will tell you that. She's a beautiful young lady, all appropriate.
Well, I'm going to guess that you take the picture of her at the event or
right.
in front of the organization or volunteering her time as well. The two of you, again, have been a common sight. And not only at celebrations, but really at the activities that help these nonprofits. So whether it is a walkathon or some sort of expo where manning a table, manning a booth, helping to spread the word, doing the hard work as well as taking the pictures and being there at the culmination or the celebration.
Yeah, it's kind of evolved into something. An individual was quite kind to tell me, Dominic, if you weren't there taking pictures, did the event happen? Or if you didn't take a picture of me, was I there?
Did it really occur? Was I really there?
Yeah, quite the compliment. And but as I say, it's a piece of the brand that I simply utilize to share the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I have these relationships with 50, 60, 70 nonprofits in the community, as I will go to sometimes to anywhere from 50. One year in 2019, I went to over 100 events in one year.
Oh, goodness. And then it changed very quickly the next year with pandemic. But
yeah.
I knew for a fact that you were still helping to support as many folks were during that very difficult time. And because of the fact that you focus on photography, I think that virtual setting was almost a second nature to you. And you were able to leverage that with all of your talent and your connections. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, because believe it or not, we are at our first commercial break.
Okay.
So, folks, stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. And in the second hour, we have in studio Mr. Dominic Ortega. So stay tuned. We'll come back with more. And we are grooving, not tonight, but this morning. It is a Monday morning, the first Monday of December. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, with The Rainmaker Show, which is the Monday segment of The Morning Voice, positive talk radio here on 1030 The Voice. We've got Matt Neely behind the glass. Matt, you're keeping it alive with the great tunes, as always.
It's good to see my good friend Dominic here today. So this is, makes a even more positive Monday than positive Mondays normally are.
That's right. That's right. I wholeheartedly agree. Our good friend Dominic is joining us. We are talking about Dominic Ortega, who is a very common sighting across community and has been for many decades. He and his beautiful wife, Miriam, and their family have been so supportive of the community in so many different ways. Right before the break, Dominic, we were talking a little bit about the fact that you give of your time and talent and your treasure to so many organizations, and at your height probably of boards or advisory councils or other volunteer committees that you serve on, 2019 was one of your flagship years where you were just in on dozens and dozens of organizations. I know that your particular excitement happens when organizations support education or health or healthcare and well-being and wellness. But at that time, 2019, you were at your height, and then, gosh, the next year was 2020, and the world changed for businesses and nonprofits alike. One of the things that you continued to do, because you had the ability to, as well as your talent in photography, you were able to kind of slip into that virtual remote world perhaps a little bit easier than some. And with that, you helped continue to support these nonprofits, including something that was very uncommon that year. You actually raised more money for some organizations than they had ever hit. Tell us a little bit about that, what you did with your photographs and being able to keep attention to those in need.
Yes, it certainly was a very challenging time. And as you say, coming off the 100 events of 2019, it was great. I'd received the Philanthropist of the Year award, mm-hmm. very exciting. And then COVID hit and things just stopped. And fortunately, since I had the photos from the events from last year, the prior year, 5 years, 10 years, I would make a point when we would have hosted or would have attended a certain event. I said, gosh, you know, this particular event would have gone on, but they still need your support. Mm-hmm. And it really tells a lot about the Tucson community, because in many cases, they still stepped up. One particular one comes to mind was with El Rio Health, mm-hmm. and Miriam and I were going to be the chairs. I mean, it was a big deal, a big event, and in February, I was thinking, oh, I've got 950 friends. We'll definitely sell out the event and whatnot, and excited, but it turned out we wound up canceling the event probably about 6 weeks before the date, which would have been in October. And I used my skills as a marketing person rather than the traditional dinner event. I broke it up into 4 or 5 different mini strategies, and I put forth this plan that this event and the strategy will bring this amount and this amount and this amount and this amount. And, you know, typically these events will raise about $300,000 or so, and then the cost is about $100,000. Mm-hmm. So we're very fortunate. It was fingers crossed, and Miriam and I were there with just a few people manning the ship and everything. And in the end, gosh, I think we totaled $440,000, set a record for the El Rio Gala. And more importantly, I didn't have to spend $120,000 or $130,000 for the dinner, the venue. And the sponsors were very good. They came out with the donations, but there were these other 3 and 4 other methods, mm-hmm. that we had never tried before. And so it grossed the most and it netted the most. It was really exciting, an exciting time to make something like that happen. But again, this is utilizing the skills that I've been trained for in this billion-dollar corporation.
That's right. Not only the skills that you had been trained for, but really leveraging the network that you had built over those years and that you continue to maintain. And to be able to, first of all, and during that time, so many nonprofits, and I'm going to say, unfortunately, not unlike our current times, nonprofit organizations are going through a lot. They're suffering. There are a lot of reasons that their economic situation for many of the organizations is being challenged by a number of different shifts in the economy, shifts in funding, certainly shifts in, if any of them at all, were depending a little bit or a lot of bit on any kind of government funding. Right. That certainly is off the table. But also with all of this, it just pays to pivot, and not all organizations are in a place where they can. So you were able, but you and Miriam were able to pivot and take a different approach to what you already knew was a good method. And again, the network. I think when we try to teach not only young people, but maybe lesser seasoned up-and-coming professionals, you know, of any age, if they are new to an industry or a role, it can be daunting for folks to grasp their what they need to do to perform, and then thinking about networking with that can sometimes be even more challenging. You were able to maintain your network all these years, even after you left the corporate world, and be able to tap back into it. I think those of us, and I put myself in this category, you and I are connectors. Mm-hmm. And when you're a connector, that's kind of what you do. You start thinking about not what's in it for you, but what you want to do to interact with these other people or their issues. And when one is interacting with others without a hidden agenda, that sincerity and authenticity really shines through, and that's what helps maintain, one of the things that helps maintain a strong relationship, because then it truly is sincere. You do a great job of making sure to teach that to others of your own age, but certainly students. I've known for years and years, you will walk in to host a corporate table, host a private table, or otherwise buy tickets for events or something like this, but you never come just you and Miriam. You are always bringing others in tow who this might be their first and only experience in such a setting, and you're doing it not to show off. You're doing it to show them and to help them along that path. That speaks just volumes about community support. What inspired you to be like that?
I think by example, first of all, from my parents. They were wonderful, wonderful individuals, probably the greatest people I'd ever known. But we lost them very young age. Mm. I was about 31 when I lost my father, and 34 losing my mother. But they set the tone. But then there have been other individuals along the way. An old buddy, Bill Holmes.
Oh, goodness sakes, yes.
Great example.
Yeah, and we miss him greatly in community.
We do, and again, gone so long. Neelam and Gulshan Sethi. These people are inspiration. You see the things that they do, Nushin and Reza, mm-hmm. Folks who just give and give. And you know, I make a point of saying, and people understanding, I receive nothing. I don't want to receive anything. It's contrary to the concept of giving, mm-hmm. of giving from your heart. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just so very important because it also sets the tone. I'm not selling you insurance. I'm not selling you a car. I'm not selling you a house. I may be selling you a concept that you can do something. You can be part of something. Find your passion. I'll have a friend call up and say, gosh, I want to get involved. I'm getting ready to retire. And I'll say, I will meet with you. And I have a list of 50 different nonprofits. And I'll tell you about each one of them because it isn't the one that speaks to me. It has to speak to you. And when, you know, I'll tell them about it, I say, I can pick up the phone, call up the CEO and say, here's a volunteer. Or here's somebody who wants to give money. Or here's somebody who has an extraordinary talent. And they can help.
That's right. Well, let's hold that thought as we go to our next commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to share more about Dominic's pathway and career journey and community support, because there are new accolades to be talking about. Stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers on KVOI, The Voice. We are back riding like the wind with Christopher Cross as we come back in for our last half hour of this wonderful Monday, December 1st. You are listening to Rainmakers, the morning voice here on KVOI, The Voice. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. We've got Matt Neely behind the glass, and in studio with us today for this second segment is Mr. Dominic Ortega. Dominic, thank you again for coming out on an early Monday morning to be live in studio with us. I know that it is not your usual schedule to be out and about early in community because you usually take this time. This is when you are prepping, you're spending time with Miriam, you all are taking your mornings in, especially on a Monday morning following a holiday weekend.
Right.
But I so appreciate you taking the time to come out and join us on Rainmakers. You are definitely a rainmaker yourself. I have long said that to you, and now we are making it official because you're here on the show. We were speaking this last 30 minutes to our listeners and viewers, anyone who might just be joining us, we've been talking to Dominic not only about his wonderful nearly four-decade corporate career, but what he did not only during his career and continues to do for all the years since in your official, I'm going to just use air quotes of retirement, because you certainly aren't slowing down. You're just putting your attentions to a different way of connecting out in the world, and that is by supporting community nonprofits and students. I love when I have read over the years your bio or have heard other people introduce you when you are receiving one of your many, many accolades, that you consider yourself a feminist, that you support women, you support girls, and that you are a proud feminist in that right. That is, I'm so excited that you are one of my favorite feminists, I will say.
Thank
because
you.
I really enjoy what you do, like I said, for young people in their high school or college career, and particularly the women and girls. You are showing them that you are a man can be trusted, you have respect for women, and that's really important these days when we see so much divisiveness, people looking for a mentor or just a good example out in the world, and that's what you emulate.
I agree. And again, example is very, very important. I have twin daughters, 36 years old, very successful young ladies in their own right, and a 38-year-old son. But I just realized it is so very, very important to be an ally to women. And you have to stand and speak for things that you believe in. I mentioned to you that 2019 award that I received, there was 800 people in there, and I thought I gave a pretty good speech.
I'm sure you did.
But when I said, I'm a feminist, and I believe in equality, and I believe you should get the same pay, I believe for doing the same job, oh my God, I could have run for president, because that's what brought the house down. And and later they told me, said, no one from the podium has ever said they are a feminist. And sure enough, an award I received a few years later was called the Women Who Soar Award, which only women received. And I said, is this a mistake? I'm Dominique, not Dominique, a girl. And they said, no, you. And if you can imagine the other person, Carlotta Flores.
Oh, yes.
I was on the stage with Carlotta Flores. I said, I have made it.
You've made it.
To be on the stage with her.
And yeah, you guessed it.
I said, why am I getting this award? They said, because we acknowledge from so many areas how much you support women. And I do, as mentees. They call them my Tucson daughters. I have a few Tucson sons, but it's like an 8-to-2 ratio.
There you go.
Always supporting the women, giving them ideas about business plans. Some of them have been very, very successful. They don't know. They don't have anyone guiding them. Even their own father might not have the experience that, you know, this is what I did in the corporate world. I can show you how to make money, how to save, and things like that. And also to be a guide, you're right. There were times where I would buy two tables for, let's say, these big luncheons.
Like a gala or a luncheon or a key event.
I like the luncheons because they're able to communicate a little bit more. So I'd buy two tables, and one would be my mentees, and the other one might have been 10 students from Eller College, women. And then I'd say, you don't need to talk to me, but you talk to each other.
Yes.
And they've made connections and helped each other out. And also it helps for the youth aspect of these organizations. Some of them are getting older, and some of them need to have those younger individuals get their eyes opened and say, whoa, what a wonderful women's organization. That was a women's organization of Southern Arizona. I think 1,000 people when they have those those luncheons. So I'm very proud to be part and just kind of keep coming up with these ideas where we can make things happen. I do something every year. Like right now, I say, nominate your favorite nonprofit, and then I'll pull them from a hat. So I'll pull 10, and I'll donate $100 to each one of them. So I'm doing that on Friday.
Oh, goodness. So that's good for folks to know.
Yeah, 10 nonprofits are going to get a $100 donation in their name, my name, whatever. It doesn't matter to me, but I wanted to, again, just get the word out about these nonprofits, and there's $1,000 for their favorite charity.
Sure, it's a great way to do that. So you encourage your young people, the men, the proteges that you have, the people that you are mentoring, to give you those suggestions, and then you mix them all up in a hat. So it makes them think about causes that are important to them or initiatives or organizations. And it goes back to the old adage, you don't know what you don't know. So sometimes you just need to be invited into the room and you need to listen and watch and speak a little. So that's fantastic. I know that we have coming up soon, in about a week and a half, well, not quite 2 weeks, Saturday, December 13th will be the What a Wonderful World, the Angel Ball, the annual angel charity for children. And while the official volunteer corps of that are women.
Yes.
You are sort of an angel assistant in that way, that you are supporting the women that are supporting the event and encouraging and spreading the word about that. I see Matt Neely giving a little smile over there because both he and I love when anybody else or we get the opportunity to talk about angel charity for children. So we're excited for that. And that'll be another example of where you give your time or your talent, and how you might support those who are supporting that, even if you might not be
officially an angel.
Yeah, you might not be officially an angel, but you are making sure that the angels get all the help they need and that young people know about it. In our first hour, we had artists and art collectors. We were speaking to different people, and one of the ladies that was here, Teresa Pellucci, who works with the Southern Arizona Art Guild, was talking about the importance for people to start collecting on their own, especially at a young age, because it's not about having thousands and millions of dollars and then sort of that makes you a collector of art, but rather just starting the journey of exploring. You know, you might like sculpture, you might like paintings, you might like photography, you might find that you are an artist yourself, but you don't know till you start that path and go on that journey and start to build it up. Well, same thing about professional networking, and as you, as I love that you like to say, your real goal, whether in your corporate life and profession or whether in your retirement and your community engagement, is that you're trying to leave this place a little bit better than you found it.
Absolutely.
And isn't that just as simple as it gets?
Mm-hmm. It truly is. And I have to say, I do love Angel Charity. Everyone knows I have a very strong relationship with El Rio Health, mm-hmm. but I know so many angels, and they do so much. They work so hard.
Mm-hmm.
People do not know how hard angels work. They simply see the glamour and the beauty and everything like this. But you're right, throughout the year, because they have several events, I'll always be a little person who will pull up a photo from the event or pull up a group of photos and say, look what Angel did now. And again, they're doing it for some other group, some other organization. There's mm-hmm. always two main organizations they donate to, and then four, six, or eight other organizations that they'll give. This year, they're hitting, I think, $1.7 million.
That's amazing.
And that's an incredible impact. So my heart is with the angels always. And so throughout the year, I give them their cheer. And then, of course, we'll attend. I got to see what dress Miriam will wind up wearing to that particular
event. Yes.
But there are so many
she
good friends.
She always looks gorgeous.
Good people. And I absolutely always want to support them. But again, throughout the year, I'll go to 10, 15 youth on their own, single mom scholars, mm-hmm. YWCA, mm-hmm. very powerful group. Magda, so proud and encouraged by her and all that she is doing. There's so many great leaders. Sister Jose, Women's Shelter, just go on Casa Maria, the food soup kitchen and things like this. Mm-hmm. So there's something for everyone. If you want to be way out there or if you want to be kind of behind the scenes, you can be putting those vegetables in that giant cauldron and helping those individuals who literally are on the streets and getting that bowl, and it's going to be the only probably good food that they're going to receive for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll touch your heart.
It does, you know? And giving back. Well, we are going to our next commercial break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how folks can join you in this journey of supporting community. You're listening to Rainmakers. Please stay tuned. We'll come back with our special guest, Dominic Ortega. We are on KVOI 1030 The Voice. And we're back wrapping up a wonderful Monday morning, not only just any Monday morning, but the first Monday of December 2025. And we have had some great guests on this morning, three fabulous ladies, Mariana de la Vega, Teresa Pellucci, and Linda Kaplan. Started off our first hour talking about the Southern Arizona Art Guild and De La Vega Galleries and the excitement and importance of getting involved in art and how you can do it even if you are a novice and on a little budget. Secondly, for this second hour, we've had Mr. Dominic Ortega, and we are talking about the importance of giving back to community, what he has found in his lifetime, not only growing up with some fabulous parents in Globe and Miami area of Arizona, but what he has done throughout his professional career to give back to those coming up the pathway behind him, be them students, fellow colleagues, as well as nonprofits who need a little bit of assistance. And as we wrap that up, I want to show our listeners and viewers that the first volume of the Better Mag, we recently had Irene Coppola in here from Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, and she talked about this new magazine. So here is that first volume issue, and on the cover is Mr. Dominic Ortega. He is being highlighted at the upcoming 2026 Community Visionary Award by the Better Business Bureau for all this attention to business and community. Dominic, thank you so much for being here. We were speaking right before the break about the connections that happen in community and your mantra of really just wanting to leave the world as a little bit better place for all.
Absolutely.
And how you have used, again, your time, your talent, your treasures, not only to put toward that effort, but to be an example for others who might not know how to take that first step. You are there to help guide them. And sometimes you may not even meet them, but they see you doing this activity or they hear of you, and it can open up a whole new world, which is what all of this is about. Rainmakers certainly is about giving voice to those people and organizations who may not always be in the spotlight, but have fabulous things to share. And I'd love for you to tell us as we wrap up this morning, I'm going to show another picture to the group, something else you're famous for, the handstands that you've done for years. We have seen you at events. We have seen you at council meetings or advisory board meetings or board of director meetings. And we've certainly seen you celebrating, and you get out. You show up when it's needed, and maybe that's the excitement of you doing the handstand. Or how did that start by you doing that?
Well, it was something that I had always wanted to learn how to do.
Okay,
and so I was self-taught, but it just came up when one time there was a, you know, they'll do a circle on a dance floor and mm-hmm. things like that. And there's a young guy doing a worm. They're like, well, what can they do? You know, what can they do? And so, well, I know how to do this.
I can do a handstand out on a dance floor.
That's
in
right.
A tuxedo.
Even in high school, they did something called a Dancing Dads.
Mm-hmm.
And
tell us about that.
It's only graduation night, and they keep the students kind of locked up because they don't want anything to happen to them at the high school,
mm-hmm.
Drinking and going around. So they have a casino night and everything, and then they ask for volunteer dancing dads, put us on a stage. And before there was a practice and said, so can any of you do anything? I said, well, I can do something, and then boom, and I can walk on my hands for 20-30 seconds.
Oh goodness.
And so you up front. And so and these are all my son's friends. So they went, Mr. Ortega, we know him. And I'm into the computers, and they'd all been over to our house. I had 10 computers in our house always when these kids were 7, 8, 10 years old. So our
get
house,
them learning early and get them to study at home.
And I'd get calls at 10 o'clock at night, Mr. Ortega, I need to print up my biology. Can I, you bet, come on over. And these young individuals evolve into doctors and lawyers mm-hmm. and everything else.
And nonprofit leaders.
And absolutely nonprofit leaders. So it has been a blessing. I have had just an absolutely blessed life to be able to touch the little bits of these stories of these young and amazing individuals. And gratitude is a movie. It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
I allude to that very often, that I feel that I've experienced this life and been so blessed in it in so many ways. It almost doesn't doesn't seem fair. My wife just put out the word, you know, we win raffles every year. And so she just said, we've got 12 baskets from raffles we won this year. So we want to donate them. Actually, we're going to donate them to Angel Charity probably, so they can refill them up with lots of goodies and auction them off and sell them off and things like that.
That's a great thing to do. Keep the giving.
Yes.
And putting it back into community. It's all about not just what, you get what you receive what you put into something. Mm-hmm. And so the energy and the dedication and commitment without agenda that you and Miriam do is really worthwhile. And it's what Rainmakers is all about. And I thank you, my friend and colleague.
Thank you so much.
Dominic Ortega has been wrapping up December 1st with us here on Rainmakers. We wish everyone, our viewers and listeners, to have a fabulous first week of December. And please stay tuned. Listen to us every weekday morning, 7 to 9, The Morning Voice. And coming up next, we've got Kathleen Wynn. So stay tuned, and everyone make it a great week.